Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
You're all gasmatics. You're all gasmatics. Sneaking in the back door with Teddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're all gasmatics.
Thanks for tuning into the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and her trusty slutty sidekick, Hey Love.
What's up?
You usually say your name, but this time I just did it for you.
So I know.
I was feeling excited.
And I just said, what's up? I felt like a Martin or something. What's up?
We always age ourselves so quickly on these
episodes. Oh, you know, I had never watched Martin when it was on, but I've been watching it recently.
It's classic.
It's pretty classic. It's very cute. Makes me laugh.
So we are continuing our conversation this week with a deeper dive. So each month we discuss a topic, and each week we have a certain breakdown of discussion within that topic. And the third week of the month, we typically do a deeper dive into the topic and figure out things that we maybe want to know, didn't know, just more of a, and not the surface level stuff, if you will. So this week we're doing a deeper dive into the personal side of sex work. I don't know why I felt like I needed to eat the microphone for that, but you're welcome.
It was beautiful. Yeah. Did you see that AOC did an ASMR recently on Instagram?
I did not. That's great.
She did it to explain socialism. It was pretty
funny. Fuck, that's hilarious. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. That's so funny.
It was socialism, ASMR version. Now that I know what it is, ASMR.
Quick reminder, your local elections may be coming up. Please vote. Back to the topic at hand. So a deeper dive into the personal side. So what the fuck does that mean? We want to learn as much about this as possible. However, we can't forget that we both have experience in this topic. And sometimes interviewing people gives us some knowledge. And so we are going to have a guest on next week, but in the interim, who better to ask than ourselves?
Well, you know, and I thought about this in terms of a lot of the stuff that we looked up where, like, you know, when we're talking about the age of people earning money off of digital sex work, there's a lot of people that are like doing it amateurly these days.
Sure.
The advent of many vids and OnlyFans, these aren't just like porn site modeling gigs or Backpages gigs anymore. This is like, has a whole new kind of economy and energy to it. And since, you know, we've both done some activity and work in these areas, I thought, why not we like kind of offer our insight rather than the insight of, you know, like, because there was a lot of this is this person's insight. A lot of the articles were interviews with specific people that like had done it and were offering this kind of tips on how to like manage it and handle it. So I thought, okay, you know, that's good advice. There's a lot of good stuff we discovered there. But like, what do we think the like real, like not sitting in an interview trying to be politically correct for somebody, like what is the fucking personal side? What kind of like toll does it take on your other sexual intimacies that you're having? You know, what, like, can a hoe live off of this money?
Sure. You know? And I think it's important to point out that, you know, everybody has a different perspective, a different reason why, a different reason to stay, a different everything. And it's sometimes nice to remember that, you know, we are doing some of the things we're talking about on these podcasts. So it's like, we have the experience, we may as well just be open and candid about it. And what better way than two people that we run our own podcast, we'll say whatever the fuck we want, right? So
And I figured, you know,
I don't know why I feel like I have to explain why we're interviewing each other, but you know, it feels It feels silly, obviously, but.
But I think in this case, it's like, you know, right off the bat, I don't give a fuck about the moralizing aspect of it. Like, sure. You know, most of what you read is like all the taboo nature of it, the controversial aspects of it, the judgy aspects. I'm talking about once you're certain, you don't give a fuck or have a problem with that side of it. You know,
like sure.
we're not here citing religious or immoral like complaints about what we've done or like, you know, what other people do around
yeah.
this.
But like, I mean, more sex of work like, is work, period. But we're right. also, there's a level of honesty that not a lot of people like to bring. I feel like a lot of times sex workers glamorize the job. Online specific is what I'm trying to say, but you know, I've seen a lot of interviews where there is some glamorization to it. I even watched some OnlyFans thing, and yeah, they show the hard sides of stuff, but there's just like this level of like, I was watching it and I was like, this is so, I don't know, like where's the girl like grunting on the floor because she just got asked to take like six fucking objects up her ass for like $3 and she's gonna do it because right. she's fucking desperate for that. I don't know, like I didn't watch the whole thing, so maybe they did show that side. I don't fucking know, but
I think a lot of it falls under the idea of either like shame management or like respectabilityizing. I know that's not a word, but like bringing, and it's kind of like, I mean, I was just on Chernos and the Lived Experience. Check out that latest episode with me, by the way, if you haven't. And like we were talking about like how there are certain things the community doesn't talk about within the queer community. And like, it's like we don't talk about the House of Cards guys because we don't want people to associate the idea that non-consent is something that the queer community like has an issue with. Because
sure.
then it would like let people vilify us on a certain way. And I feel there must be a similar kind of dynamic happening in the world
yes.
of sex work. Like
yes.
we don't want to admit the shitty aspects of it because we don't want people to say, see, I told you so. I told
right.
you.
And why do you do it? And you question and get all personal and up in your business. Cause as if it's anybody's
right.
business to begin with and all that, but no, it's totally true. There's levels to all of this stuff. And I think that we just are scratching the surface of getting more people to realize, quote unquote, sex work is work, right? And that's
right.
like the bare minimum we can ask, right? Can you please not disrespect the name of sex workers? Can you please not make jokes out of us? Maybe don't
right.
murder sex workers that work on the street, things like that. So the fact of the matter is, it is becoming more normalized because more people have an OnlyFans and more people are making money on the side, even if they're just modeling and whatever the fuck they're doing on there. But at the end of the day, the conversation needs to go far deeper than sex work is work. Yeah. And it's a tough fucking job. And
yeah.
for the few people that make those exorbitant amounts of money that then flashing around or are bragging about how great their job is and all this stuff, first of all, most of us are never going to see that kind of money ever in our fucking mm-hmm. lives. It's just not going to happen. Very
right.
few sex workers make that, you know, make their little break.
The it list.
Especially when you're only working for yourself. So to say,
right.
oh, look at how much money I made working for myself. 9 times out of 10, one of those people got super, super famous off of like TikTok or something like that. And then there was like a transfer of fans and, or there's a, you know, a certain look, or they snag the algorithm at the right time, whatever. But those are few and far between. Most stories we're looking at, even if people have a lot of following, that doesn't always translate into numbers. And we, you know, I know what it looks like to be consistently in higher than the top 5% in the company. And I know how much I take home, and I don't
right.
take home that much. So if
right.
if I'm pulling in the top 5%, and that's the worst I've ever done is top 5%. I'm saying I'm under top 5 consistently.
Right.
I've been at 1.8%, and even that number, good money, but definitely
right.
not
right.
what we're seeing being glamorized. Sure. So just that alone, I really just want to be wary of how much you want to say, like, yeah, sex work is awesome. Like, yeah, we don't want people to talk shit about it. I understand that that's a huge portion
right.
of this, but it's not enough to just say sex work is real work and I can control my hours, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, that's a few positives, but what about all of the fucking negatives that come with sex work?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, like, look, this isn't a comparative. It's like a behind the scenes. Like, the reality is all jobs have shitty aspects to them, have things that we don't like, that affect us emotionally, that we take home with us at the end of the day.
So let's be fucking honest about it, right?
Exactly. You know, when you're talking work-life balance, it doesn't matter what the job is. And right. I think that's a little
Have to, like you said, we have to stop being afraid to admit that it's a tough job on top of just wanting respect for it being a job. And I get that. We want the respect of the fact that we're our own our own marketing team. We're our own salespeople. We're our own videographers, editors, you know, online social media, you know, all of that. Like we are content creators, not even just in the porn that we make. We have to content create outside of it just to get eyes on our stuff. We're, you know, storytellers. We come up with fucking stories on the fly. We're actors. We're all of the above, right? And I know that we want respect and we want people to see that, but we're also people in customer fucking service, and that job sucks. I don't care if you're a fucking telemarketer. Yeah. I don't care if you bag groceries. I don't care if you park cars. I don't care if you answer phones. I don't care if you work at the front of a fucking, you know, you're a hostess. It doesn't matter. You're in customer service, and everybody knows that dealing with the public fucking sucks. Yes, you always have those 5 customers a day that make up for the 25 fuckers, right? Or whatever it is, but you still have the 25 fuckers. And let's not pretend like we don't have that in our line of work. We do.
Right. And I mean, the fact of the matter is like customer service and sales and anything, you don't get to control the outcome of the people you're interacting with, right? Like, you can just do the best, like, earn your dough. And I think it's kind of like those things that, like, you know, the times where I've participated in this economy, one of the things that I find daunting and anxiety provoking always is never being able to, like, rely on how much, you know, you work a regular job, and like what we're really talking, the catch-all term would be income insecurity, right? Even if you're on unemployment, you know how much you're getting every day, right? Like, so there's a lot of income insecurity with, like, sure, you can start averaging out after you've been doing it for a while and guess about, like, how much you're doing. But it's not even about that. It's like, you know for a fact what your bills are every week or every month, right? So you are, like, living with the anxiety that one may not hit that number. Right. And I do find, like, that is something that, unless you're doing, like, this particular kind of work without too much worry about relying on the income, having an unreliable income source can, like, stem to a lot of other anxieties and worries in your everyday life.
Right. Right. Like, right now, for example, we're recording a podcast at, for my time, it's 9:40 p.m. And we were supposed to get on earlier, but we had to push it back because I had to eat, literally, because I was filming all day, super busy. And I almost canceled because I looked at what I made today and I didn't hit my goal. I have a goal in my head that I have to hit. It's the minimum amount I can make in a day so that I can take home what I need for bills for the following month or for the following, you know, I break it up by week, but I know my month overall goal, blah, blah, blah. So I almost had to cancel. Well, I mean, I should have canceled, right? Like, now I'm going to have to stay up an extra 2 hours to hopefully maybe edit something, release it, and make up that time and that money lost, right? So it's like every single day I am contemplating canceling if I even have plans, which is very rare. I contemplate canceling things like taking care of myself, going to the doctor, you know, shit like that, because I'm looking at my bank account and it's like, well, it doesn't really matter if I can't, you know, doing this thing doesn't matter today because if I don't make this money, I'm not going to be able to pay rent tomorrow, kind of thing. So it's like you said, that insecurity then creates a whirlwind effect. I'm taking care of myself less. I have more anxiety. I have more depression because I'm nervous that I'm not succeeding when I'm having a bad month, for example. And that's linked to body insecurity. And then that's linked to unhealthy habits. And that's linked to my eating disorder. That's linked to, there's so many different things that happen when you don't have steady something, and especially income. And especially for somebody like me who, like, doesn't really do well with, like, oh, I'll figure it out. Like I will, and I know that.
Right.
And I try to say that, but like 9 out of 10 of the days, I'm not saying, oh, I'll figure it out. I'm saying, fuck, what's my next step? I need a new job. This fucking sucks. What am I going to do? If a new job Googles me, they're going to find that I do porn. It's not going to work. Blah, 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 blah. Right. That's like my every other day fucking headspace.
That's a catch 22, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing you don't hear people talk about, like, is the kind of like, once you start doing this, like, what are your options? Like, if you ever choose to want to, whether it's, you know, you've been, I'm not going to be ageist in this. If you can hustle your images and videos until you're 60, 70 years old, good for you. But like the average, like, collect social security age is what, 68? Mm-hmm. So most people, like, in general, probably have an exit, like, strategy from digital sex work before 68. And, you know, if that's not because they didn't make millions of dollars, then what kind of, you know, ability does one have to do, you know, to get into, right, back into a regular workforce if they need to?
Right. And like, a lot of people look at me and say, like, well, why don't you just go back to doing what you used to do? And there's so many reasons. There's so many reasons why I still have to remain doing this.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I'm not, there's bad, but there's so much good, and everything that I do it for is because I fucking have passion for it. Like, I continue doing it because I want to continue doing it. The money is the part that sucks for me the most. Customers can be shitty, but I have a lot of amazing customers, right? But my point was I'm not trying to glamorize that there isn't bad to it, and that there isn't, you know, that anxiety of, I don't know how much money I'm going to make. And yet again, I could go back and not work for myself. But I just, after 7 years, a gap in a resume that big is really hard to account for.
Absolutely. Right. So it's like, you know, and I'm always telling, because, you know, I have other friends that do this work too, like, you need to figure out how, you know, part of your, you know, long-term strategy, especially, not only is it hard to get back into with, like, that gap, it's also hard to get back into as a matter of lifestyle.
Right.
It's hard to go and work for somebody again. It's hard to be, like, put into, you know, one of these organizations with a cubicle, or, like, you know, a desk, or a phone position, or whatever, or, like, having to, like, answer to some middle management fucker for, like, accountability purposes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Either way, like, one should be, like, thinking on the side, what is my strategy? Like, you know, I'm always giving advice on how to bullshit your fucking employment gaps,
right?
And everybody, even if it's a bullshit thing, like, buy yourself a fucking business with a tax ID number and fucking call yourself a consultant and whatever the fuck you want. Or get somebody who owns a business to say, yeah, sure, she worked for me. Like, look, the only thing these people are allowed to do legally is to call somebody and ask them if you were working for them.
Sure.
So, bitches, figure out some fucking good friends that you can rely on to say, you know, because, like, it's not a fake thing. You know, even a regular employment gap, whether it's for sex work or anything, you know, especially these days, like, we all experience it, and you need some way to be able to justify that away, because people want to feel confident that you have a work ethic and all that blah bullshit stuff.
Well, I mean, I would still say I was working. I would just say I was a contract worker, 1099. I did, you know, contract consulting for digital sales or something, because it's what it was.
Beautiful.
You know, but at the end of the day, that, again, they still run your background check often, and then they see where you filed your taxes from. You know, this isn't something you can easily hide if you're talking about a big corporate job. So where I'm qualified to work is either, like, in a library, and nobody's going to hire an ex-porn star to work around kids, you know what I mean? And or in a higher up corporate position, because those are my qualifications, honestly. And for me to get a corporate job, they will do a background check. They always do. They will run a credit check, and they will do a background check. They will see who's paying me, and they will see, you know what I mean? So as much as at first, like, I was like, oh, this is wonderful, blah, fuck corporate America, it's also like, okay, well, Yeah, okay, I can't go. My thing is this. I would much rather be the one texting the guy in the cubicle who's not working and he's sexting with a sex worker than the girl sitting next to him, working next to him, making a lot less money than that person in the cubicle. Not to say, listen, I made so much more money working in a corporate position, but I had to build my way up to that. And it took a long time. It took years, right? And it's anyways, not to shame any fucking jobs. Jobs are fucking jobs at the end of the day. And that's my whole point of this is that, you know, I could I could say yes, I could go back to corporate America where things are definitely and blah, blah, blah. But I also have a lot of benefits for not going back. And I was sexually harassed in corporate America a lot. And now I don't even understand, like, what it would look like for me to know everybody on their phone is like sexting their OnlyFans girl. You know, it's just like, I just know.
Let's be fucking real. Working for corporate America is like an extension of like high school or middle school. You are like answering
coworkers. I will say I can't do coworkers again. I don't think I could.
Forced socialization to earn some other motherfucker money and that they're going to give you a fraction of the profit of. No, I definitely don't recommend it for anybody. But, you know, unfortunately, this is the world we're in. And even in the gig economy, which, you know, digital sex work definitely falls under, you know, there's a lot of things that don't incentivize it, you know, handling your own taxes, like figuring out how to go on vacations or pay for health insurance or any of this stuff. Like, you know, there's a lot of things, unfortunately, that employment status with major companies still allot you that you don't get in the gig economy.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get sick time in the gig economy. Sure. If you don't work, you don't get fucking paid.
Yeah. I had my tooth extracted 2 weeks ago and I'm still dealing with like the blowback.
Still digging out.
Of not working for, I think it was like 2.5 days I did minimal work, right? Like I still worked, but I couldn't film it, whatever. I couldn't film for like a week. And I am still pulling myself out of that fucking hole that I created just because I hadn't planned for it. So I didn't like set aside any money. And I ended up kind of screwed. So this month is tight. But like, that's the thing is, there's no wiggle room sometimes when you're doing gig economy stuff. And it's tough, you know, both jobs are tough and you have to decide what's tougher. And as somebody with PMDD and misophonia and ADHD and fucking all of the whatever fucking acronyms, at the end of the day, like, would I rather struggle to find time alone in my apartment when I live with a bunch of people to film and then, you know, cram it all into one day and blah, 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 or listen to somebody go,
yeah, I mean the modern day world, employment world, is definitely about lesser evilism, right? Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be faced with like our labor, no matter how we choose to exercise it, still being shitty, you know? Like,
sure.
Agreed. It's you know, like, I mean, I'm not saying, but like perhaps there is some way that, like, you know, where you're a sex worker that, like, you know, you can register and get some basic income based on this, you know, like,
yeah, I always thought like you. I always thought like a thing like OnlyFans, for example, if they gave you like a monthly, like, all you have to be is like logged on and answering people, or all you have to be is doing, you
know, posting a minimum of 3 videos.
Yeah, a week or a month or a day or whatever the minimums, they could come up with stuff to kind of say like you brought enough potential traffic, even if you didn't make it in sales. You tried to.
Exactly.
Here's even $50 a fucking week. Dude. That would, do you know how much that would mean to so many people just to be, because they're already taking a cut of our shit. Maybe don't take as much instead, right? There's all these ways that we could be getting paid a little bit more. And, you know, it's why it's, if you have the ability to like have your own website and pay site and all that shit, it's, you know, definitely try to do
so. So listen up, all you movers and shakers out there, like y'all fucking buying this content, why don't you come up with a way that fucking people can feed themselves on a regular basis and still make you that content?
Tip more.
so, like, you know, I mean, I think you know, so the economics is one, but let's be real. Like, again, part of this whole kind of like, don't talk about it. Let's talk about the actual logistics of bifurcating your sexual energy, you know, to paying clients versus having it for your personal and intimate self. Like, you know, there are times where I thought, you know, and people always tell you this, oh, especially if you're a guy, like, guys have no problem separating the emotional from the physical. Okay, fine. But
and why do all my customers fall in love with me? The fuck?
Well, and I mean, I don't actually think that's true. I think even if you're having a lot of sexual encounters with people, it's definitely taking a toll on you. And like, let's be real, energy and the physical and kind of like neuro pathway energy it takes to be sexual or present sexual or to be involved in like sexual conversation, all these things do have emotional impact. It may not necessarily be bad or good, but the impact is there. It's something that everybody probably wrestles on one level or another to balance, you know, how do I take off, you know, because like people come home from their regular jobs and we can talk about them for fucking hours all the time. Like, so-and-so at work did this and da-da-da-da did this. Like, I've been there. I get it. But when you're talking things like this, it's like, yeah, how do you unload to your partner or whoever? Like, oh, yeah, so, you know, I spread my pussy for 2 hours and they only gave me a $5 tip.
Yeah.
You know, like, even with the most open-minded, like, partners and friends, like, you know, there's
most people don't want to hear what I, yeah, all of my woes, right, or whatever. Like, some of it is like, oh, this happened, and people give me a little empathy, but for the most part, it's hard to sympathize with it because it's like, well, what the fuck, dude? You know, so, but yeah, right. I totally get
it. And that, it's,
yeah,
not the most relatable stuff, especially, you know, like, I understand now why a lot of porn stars end up dating and a lot of like people who are escorts end up like dating each other. That, like, you know, you need to at least be with somebody that understands the economy of what you're doing emotionally, physically, that, like, you know, while one will work to kind of, you know, make sure that they have time and energy devoted to their partner, that it may not be like always the easiest thing. Like, you may sometimes have to have those conversations that say, hey, like, I would love to do X, Y, and Z with you tonight, but I don't have the availability for that right now.
Right. Like, it is, you know, what would you say is the most exhausting part of it in your experience? Just the whole experience, in general, like, which one is the most exhausting thing?
I think that if you're doing it and you're doing it right, most people to pay you well, at least as somebody using my penis and these things, like, they want a money shot, literally why it's called a money shot. And that, like, the actual physical energy of, like, orgasming is tolling, right? You know, like, I think, you know, while you can certainly negotiate down, like, you know, and do things that don't require like you to have an orgasm on film or like in any kind of setting, like, you know, that it's still physically draining. And in order to, like, you know, pull it off to some degree, like, you do have to, like, get into a sexual zone, even if it's not a romantic sexual zone, you know?
Do you know what I just realized right now?
What?
And I know that this is not all people with penises, because I know some people with penises can come over and over and over again and don't have very large refractory periods, but
sure,
most, I don't want to say most, but I'm going to assume based on experience alone, a huge swath of sex workers online, I'm specifically talking online, are not able to create as much content, orgasm specific, let's say. I mean,
sure,
if they put stuff in their butt, that's probably very, you know, they probably have more range when it comes to that, but you know, or sucking, I know there's like feet and sure, fucking and stuff like that, but just let's, sure, like you said, the money shot, a lot of people are paying for that. Say, let's, I don't know, I'm just gonna make a number, 7 out of 10 people are looking for some kind of orgasm in the situation,
right?
How much content can the average person with a penis actually create in a day? I can make way more content than you. And I know you can come soon after coming, but I still, there's a limit to that, right? Like there's at least.
Yeah. Well, right. And so like
say,
I was thinking,
your most in a day is 15 orgasms as a person with a penis. Let's just say that's a right. lot, mind you. I would say that's probably on the higher end, but let's say 15. That's how much I can orgasm in 25 minutes.
Well, and to be real, you cannot, you like a lot of females can just fake that orgasm and like you're not expecting.
Oh, see, I don't even, I love how I didn't even consider that because I would never, right. I would never. I think I had you once on a live one time years and years ago because I literally was just like, oh my God. I'm so dehydrated right now. I need water. So, and it's all I could think about. So I was like, nah, and then I like left. It was just like one time. Like I could never in content. I never have.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like being able to show that like physical example, but you know, like I was thinking more generalized, right? Because yeah, there's a lot of things, you know, and obviously male models and people who do this do figure out how to like, hustle a decent amount of money, but it's more on the emotional impact. It's just being naked and being sexual. There's a limit to like how much of it, and like, and if you're doing that for however many hours a week, you know, hustling digital sex work, then what does that leave left over you for those categories? Like, I mean, I find that a hard balance because like, I, you know, historically I've had a lot of like good fuck buddies that I want to fuck, but I've also like do that work and like, you know, I don't want to make clients my fuck buddies.
Sure.
It crosses that line that doesn't even allow me for, you know, my own autonomy over the experience, you know, in my personal life. So I think, you know, you are, I definitely always find it a struggle to figure out where that balance is. I feel like it's like, you know, a couple of fuck buddies fine, you know, like when you're in the mood, you figure it out and whatever. But like, you know, long-term partners, or if you meet somebody in your personal life that you like, I definitely find it really a hard balance, you know, where it's like, well, I met somebody and I much rather be doing this with them than doing this, you know, with that, but I need the money.
Right.
So then you're like, you're doing both and trying to figure out, okay, like, you know, it's basically not requiring you to be on, but requiring you to be in a very similar situation and like be able to like say, okay, physically, emotionally, or just like situationally, like, I'm available for other people, you know? Like,
right. Yeah. You need to be able to give yourself personal time and space away from the job and, you know, put it down once in a while, which I don't do often myself. So like, I'm not good at listening to my own instructions, but I find that it's very important to be able to like walk away for a bit, including for like personal time, whether it's, you know, you give yourself every day, a few hours, a couple days a week, whatever it is, you definitely need time away. Cause it's very taxing if you don't have that.
Cause it feels like, it's like, look, I've worked in healthcare for many years too. So it's like, it's almost like being on call to take care of somebody with a very specific need.
That's exactly
so
what it is.
Being there for other people, you know, when I worked in, I mean, you know me for many years. It's like after working 12 hours in the day job, like, you know, being there to help other people and their concerns, their needs, their questions, like it can take a lot to go home and like have a partner or other dependents or anybody that you support or that you're involved with, whether it's your family or whatever, to have the time for like whatever they need from you. You know,
right.
It's like, I've been answering questions all week about fucking healthcare, and now you want me to answer your questions about healthcare.
Right. Okay. It's like having a hairdresser for a mom, and then when she gets home and you ask her to do your hair for you.
Exactly.
It's the same shit. It really is. So, and the difference is that, like, I don't go home from my job. My job is in my home, and that sucks.
Right.
That's another suggestion I always give is to make sure, because I do believe, and I don't follow this because I have a small space, but I'm working on it. I do believe that everybody should have a space away from their bedroom to work. So if you work in your bedroom, try your hardest to take some time outside of it to actually like not, or like not work on your bed, work on like a sofa, you know, like there's something about working on your fucking bed is just like, right now I'm recording on my bed and I filmed on my bed all fucking day. And it's just, it's not good juju for you. I'm telling you.
I think you have to create some of those like personal sacred spaces, you know,
and your bed should be one of them.
For me, that also like started being with time. I got very good at like, you know, telling any clients or whatever, like, don't message me after 8 p.m. or don't message me before midnight, you know, like
It's so tempting. Like I could not open my website, right? Like I cannot open my browser, but it's so tempting to be like, catch up on, you know, how am I doing? And then I get these really good marketing ideas on the fly and then I immediately have to put it out. I'm like, oh, this is going to sell. You know, I'm like, $6 voice memos, 1 to 2 minutes of me telling you what I would do to you. Give me your name and what you like. Boom, boom, boom. Just sold 12 of, you know, 12, 20 of them, whatever, in like 30 minutes. Perfect. Turn that off. Don't want to do it anymore. Unsend, you know, whatever. You know, it's like I get addicted to like quick sales myself, but it's so stupid. It's just like, go to sleep, also, Felicia.
That connects to the first part again. Like, it can become very hard to create boundaries in this because it is a gig hustle. And like, you know, I've certainly like gotten the message for like, will you create me like a custom video right now? If you do it in the next like 15 minutes, you know, I'll pay $100 for it, right?
Right. But I have a customer that if I can go live with him within like 5 minutes of his random ass requests, he pays way more than I would normally charge.
Yeah. Right. So it's hard to be like, so again, it's like you're on call, you know, and I do think,
and I am, and I do it almost every single time I can, but he knows when I say no, I just, it means I can't, I'm busy or whatever.
Sure.
You know, he respects it.
So that's like, that's a boundary in of itself. And that's what I mean. I think the only way to kind of maintenance some of what we're talking about is to create boundaries that a lot, you know, for some of that while realizing, you know, sometimes it's a bad week and you can't afford that. And like, so having a boundary this week may not be the smartest thing, you know, or not the smartest thing. I do think it's the smartest thing across the board, but it may not be a possible thing, you know? So it's kind of like, that is what one is always weighing, like, oh, can I afford not to do this for like 4 hours today, you know, or can I afford not to answer that message, you know?
Half my day is spent basically like, can I put down my phone? No. All right, pick it back up, you know?
So. You know, in the past, like with the canning stuff, you know, like if I, you know, it's always been like, you have to be on there for a long time. You have to like, I'm talking about like campsites, like, you know, like the outside of today's modern, you know, personal camming, ManyBid style and whatever platforms. But like when you're like trying to get multiple people to come view your cam and like you're trying to like, you know, like spread out the amount of time so you can get as much. And then you decide what is enough before you do the money shot that we were talking about earlier. Like, okay, I had 50 people, you know, tip me and I've been at this for like 2 hours. If I rub my dick one more time, it's going to fucking fall off.
See, so it's easy now. You can just put like your tip goal and tell them what you're going to do for that. Well, I mean, you probably could then too, but like that, I see what you're saying. Yeah, nowadays, like I used to just like go, sometimes I literally just go live when I'm horny and want to be watched because that's one of my things. So like, for the record, like my job isn't just because I found this is a job I could do. Like there's plenty of shit I could do, but I've always wanted to do porn. So I was like, while I'm laid off from my corporate America job, let me dabble, you know?
You're good at it and you are creative at it. And like, I think all those things are important parts of the whole fucking process, really. I think being real about this lets people kind of, you know, expectations set. Like, you know, and this, I mean, honestly, I think a lot of this vice is transferable to any kind of job. Like, I'm talking about the woes of the worker. And like, you know, I think you're going to be more successful if you decided to do it or don't have any choice but to do it. Either way, you're going to be more successful if you understand the realness of it. What's it about? how much energy and effort, the kind of conversations you will need to have with partner. I mean, the times where I've been doing it full time, I've always told the partners right away, like, I do this. If this is a problem, we're not going to be able to go. I don't, you know, like the conversation was that I don't plan on doing this forever. But for right now, this is what's paying the bill. This is what's buying the fucking bags of weed. And this is what it is, you know? But, you know, even in that, like, you know, you have to be able to like exert and understand those boundaries and explain them to people.
Right.
Like,
well, it's just, know. It's good to basically understand from the get-go that, you know, there's a direct correlation between how much time you put into it and how much it pays off, unless you already have a really solid following online already that would be potentially interested in seeing you get naked, right? Like, it's, right. It, unfortunately, there's really no way around it. It's almost like saying, like, you know, you can be a millionaire easier if you have rich parents. Like, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, if you have the foundation of people already chomping at the bit to see you naked, once you drop that right. OnlyFans, you're gonna make some fucking good money. Now, does the money right. stay consistent? Again, depends probably how famous you are, but also how much you work. If you're not working, people will unsubscribe and those followers will leave. You know, it's like
right.
you can't just like make an OnlyFans and then expect people to just go back to the three photos you posted 2 months ago and right. then they're satisfied.
Yeah.
No, the money's going to go up and down, you know, of course. And if you decide that you don't want to work more than 40 hours a week, then this kind of job might not be the one for you unless you're already mm-hmm. famous in some capacity. So like, you know, I'll say if I wanted to go back to corporate America, I'd be working a steady 40 hours a week. And I know that. Until I do something
and
different.
probably with a schedule and times that you're expected to clock
right and lockdown. Like I have a decent schedule, I will say, like depending on what's going on in my life, I usually have a pretty standard schedule on, you know, certain weeks at least, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 9 to 4 I'm filming, and then 4:30 to blah I'm doing this and then this, so like I try to stick to a schedule, which helps me for my personal stuff. But
sure,
when life gets in the way of that, it fucking sucks. So it's one of those things where it's just like, if you like consistency and you don't, you know, I don't know. There and again, I'm only answering based on why I am a sex right. worker and why I have to stay a sex worker according to me and all of that. So like, obviously my experience is going to be different. Aaron's experience is going to be different. So we're not speaking on behalf of any other sex workers. This is just our experiences. For the record.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think, yeah, obviously that's important because, you know, there's a lot of different opinions about this stuff. And like, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, as I get older, blah, 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 a lot of different ways people approach that. I've met a lot of younger sex workers and whatnot who are really excited about sharing their videos and get definitely their own kind of like payoff from being told, you know, you're hot or this or that, you know, mm-hmm. and like, you know, maybe just because of my experience in general, like I definitely was very good about not getting my self-esteem out of the job, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like that's a slippery slope. It doesn't mean that I was never excited.
Sure.
about being told those things or that it didn't turn me on. And I think that's something that we always all feel taboo about saying, oh, did you have a client that turned you on? Of course, definitely. Definitely have had clients that have turned me on. They don't need to know that.
Sure.
You know, unless I've like decided, you know, I want to pursue something with them.
Or if you want to break the fourth wall, and that's up to you, at your discretion, right. of course. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm old enough to know if somebody is preying on me or mm-hmm. not old enough, experienced enough. Let me use that word instead. My filter for bullshit is pretty good after many years. But like, I also have definitely found moments like where it's hot. And, you know, sometimes like, the ones that know exactly what they want are the hottest, and it's the easiest to do on some level too. Like, I don't have to be creative for you. You're being creative for both of us. Great.
Right.
And if they do it really well, it might be then something that I find hot to do, you know?
Sure.
But I do think that is another side of the emotional thing that we have to balance. People derive a lot of confidence, a lot of self-esteem, and like definitely you know, you have to be careful about how much you're looking at your body. And it's, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that a lot of us can't change, not without severe like plastic surgery dollars. But like, my dick is not going to get bigger no matter how much you wish it is or want it to be. Like, my dick is the size that it is. So if you are not digging the size of it, then you don't need to be my client. You know, and, but I'm not going to worry about how big my
sure. dick is. And on the other side of that, it's okay to also trust and believe that whatever you find as a flaw in yourself or on your body or whatever, you know, is absolutely something that is going to turn somebody on out there. So like, that's the other thing that I've learned absolutely. While doing this. So I definitely don't get my self-esteem from the job that I do at all. Like I could post an Instagram photo and get 600 likes and I would just be like, yeah, it's because my tits look big, whatever, you know, eye roll, like, cool, great. Yeah. It's I'm glad that the algorithm is picking me up, but I don't care about anything else, right? None of the I'll say this sometimes, like I'll get a genuine compliment from somebody that like hits like a chord and I'm like, oh wow, that, you know, like whatever. But for the most part, like I'm getting my confidence from myself, right? We know that that's based in how we see ourselves and all of that. But what's cool yeah. is that over time I've learned that like all of the insecurities that I have, I actually, if comfortable enough, can probably profit off of. And I don't mean, listen, no, hold on. I don't mean that in any kind of like grimy way. I mean it like this. Yeah. So like, I do not want, for example, a fully nude, full frontal video of me out on the internet. I don't want that. I don't want it. Yeah. I don't want people speculating it. I don't want people seeing it. Okay. Right. But I also know that I have at least maybe 20 customers that like my body in the bigger size that it is right now. For the record, why uh-huh. that's a big deal is because I don't do full frontal nudity ever at any size, never have. And I also do not get naked with partners usually, typically. There's been a few, a couple times, but that's it. So just to go back to my point, it's a huge deal for me. And why it's, and because it's a huge deal, I can now offer it to people that actually want to see it at a premium price. And I'm going to weed out the curious, quote unquote, people that might be looking at it to maybe, you know, make fun of me,
sure.
whatever, make me feel bad about it. And instead, the people that understand how big of a fucking deal it is for me, but are into my body at a bigger size, will pay the fucking price. So I've been able to profit yeah. off of the things that I am so insecure about that I don't want the general public to have their hands on
sure.
because I'm able to allow a small group of people willing to spend the money in on this little secret of mine, which is that I have crazy huge stretch marks running down my front side. And I have a right. fucking loose skin belly that hangs over my fupa. And that is something that I do not show you in most of my videos. Now that I'm as big as I am, you can right. see it, you know, you're not usually not stupid. And most people could tell that I have, you know, these flaws here and there, but I never showed them off in this overt way. And all I can say is that this job has allowed me a place to show that off, feel a little bit better about it because there are people that want to see it, right? It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't be so goddamn afraid, right? And also make some money off of it too. So it's like this interesting, weird thing that like, yes, I don't think that you should directly connect your confidence to your work. However, there are these little small side benefits of it. Like over time, you might get more comfortable showing off your butthole. Sure. Maybe before you were nervous about the way your butthole looked because you have less yeah. lines in it, right? That's a big step.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but color and line is a big fear for a lot of people out there. A lot of people
yeah.
are nervous that their asshole looks quote unquote blown out. Listen, that could be for so many fucking reasons and it's nobody's right. business. Your butthole yeah. is beautiful the way it is, whoever you are out there, show it off. Because
right.
I guarantee you, and if you know what, if you're uncomfortable with it, make it a proprietary item. And then it's right. like only people, and you just say, I put a disclaimer showing my stretch marks and loose skin. So if you're not into flappy belly, don't buy this $55 fucking video, right? And if you want right. to see my shit bounce around, here you go. Enjoy it. Because I know nobody's going to spend right. $55 on a fucking 10-minute video unless they want to see the goddamn content, right?
Right.
So it's like a give and take, you know?
I think at some point, like, the reality is like, eventually, you know, you get through all of, I don't want to say your insecurities, because you can still be doing these things that still have insecurities around them. But like, I think, you know, there's a lot of things one can tackle in like their digital sex work job, getting comfortable with like aspects of their body that they either never thought about mm-hmm. before or were not like personally into before. So I think it's a wide range of kind of things that like, you know, you're able to confront and deal with,
sure.
like on the emotional
yeah, there's,
level, you know?
There's some therapy in there. I won't lie. Like the other yeah. day I got requested to make a workout video, like I wasn't going to actually work out in it, but like that was the plot, was that a personal trainer right. is hitting on me and I'm sitting there like showing off my chubby body. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what they're asking for. It's okay. You know?
Yeah.
So there's this level of like therapy that goes along with some of it. It's, but again, yeah. you can't put all your eggs in any basket. So you can't put your sure. confidence in all one basket. And because, you know, what if you have a bad week? Then all of a sudden it's tied in and now you feel shitty about yourself just because you didn't make a lot of money that week? Come on, that's nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know in every economy there's an ebb and flow of cash, and that's it. There's a reason why you didn't make that much money that week, and it has nothing to do with how you look, you know?
Amen, sister. Yeah. So, I mean, I think these are some honest things, you know, like honestly, people could complain about customers forever in every aspect, but I think
yeah.
as far as like the personal toll, like you want to like, you know, at least from what like we've said, and I do know a lot of people like income insecurity, like dealing with these like very tough emotional questions, you know, that there's good and bad to it on the emotional side.
Yeah.
You know,
like when you're depressed, you don't want to be asked like how many dicks do you like to suck in a row? Like, ew. I don't want to suck any dick right now. I'm sad, you know?
Right. Right. I'm sad. I'm stressed out. I'm dealing with something. Absolutely. Right. You know, so, you know, just, this isn't, you know, this is just meant to be us being real about like what some of the questions that come up that aren't, you know, just the everyday stuff about, oh, people judge me, whatever. But I think, like, you know, if you know these things, and who knows if it'll help you grow into it, I'm not trying to convince you either way, but, like, just saying, like, you know, in the deeper dive aspect, you know, we can read all these things, we can talk about what people do, the different methods, the different areas, but really, like, you need to hear more about, like, well, what's it actually like? And I think that we've done some justice to here today. Not
absolutely. One last thing I do want to add is that there is a level of violence to it.
Mm.
And there always will be. Mm. I don't know how to say, I don't want to say there always will be. That's bad. We should move toward, the goal should be to get away from that. But between the way people will treat you, talk to you, there's violence
sure.
there.
Sure.
What people want to be able to sexualize about you. Some often there's violence there, but another,
yeah.
and you have to guard yourself properly and just put down boundaries. But another piece of it is there are going to always be people, and not every person experiences this, but there's always going to be people that will try to find you in public, try to cross a physical boundary, try to come see you at a convention,
right.
try to meet you somewhere, try to, you know, cross a physical boundary, and or, you know, there's stalkers in this industry. There's a lot of people that have a failed ability to understand personal cues and, you know, what the dynamic,
sure.
what the true dynamic is between sex worker and client. And because of that, there is a level of safety that you have to be aware of. You know, I have customers often that find out that, you know, say I'm in a relationship, and then they unsubscribe immediately because they ask if I want to hang out. First of all, you're not supposed to ask anybody that on any of these apps. You can get me kicked off, asshole. And
right.
if you know me enough, then message me on another fucking app. You know what I mean? Like if say we've met
right.
in person and you're like, oh, are you going to be at the show? Blah, blah, blah. Something like that. It's innocent enough.
Right.
But anyways, I often have customers that as soon as they find out whatever it is, or simply that I won't date them, right? They unsubscribe,
right.
they try to do whatever. And it's just like, it's scary because sometimes you're not sure when you're going to end up on the other end of one of these TV shows that are like, you know, obsession, dark series, where a girl's like, yeah, I talked to some guy one time on MySpace, and then 5 years later, he came over and fucking shot me because I'm going to date him. You know, it's like,
let me ask you point blank then, in all honesty, without caveats, would you recommend this work then?
No.
Okay. No, that's, I mean, but that's real.
I think working for yourself is beautiful. Do I think this is the career to work for yourself? If it's the only thing you can, go for it. But other than that, no, I do not suggest it as a career. Absolutely not. No.
Yeah. I do think that it requires, I think the main difference is it requires, like, you don't have to go to work and like show your naked body to people or necessarily even be that vulnerable to people in the way that you do with digital sex work and sex work. I think there's a lot of vulnerability and a lot of exposure, even if you're controlling as much as you can control for it, it will seep in. It is a hard balance, and it is a balance that you really, really honestly have to deal with, or you will have an even worse time than being described. So I think that's the only way is through. If you have to do it and this is where you've landed on, and even if you think you can do it,
or you really want to. Okay.
Yeah.
I really wanted to, and I did it, and I don't regret doing it, but I wouldn't.
Sure.
I'd go back and probably go differently in the route that I took. You know?
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Well, yeah, I agree. I think that's fair until something changed, like some of our recommendations on basic income and again, balancing your emotions with something, a very vulnerable activity. Don't fucking think it's easy. It's not, you know, and I'm not saying it's impossible and I'm not poo-pooing it, but like most people don't even have the capacity to deal with their emotions in everyday life these days, let alone to take on something extra, you know, that will definitely require more of your capacity.
Sure. And it's never going to look perfect no matter what, if you do it or if you don't do it. And, you know, if you think you want to do it and can do it, try it. Sure. But do I think that anybody should just quit their job and quote unquote go sell feet pics on the internet? No. First of all, it's not that. Second of all, unless, again, you are a famous, particularly content creator, meaning you're already getting paid to make content to begin with, you could probably open an OnlyFans as like a backup income. But again, that's not your career. So making a career of this, starting from scratch, meaning like you don't have more than 1,000 followers online, or, you know, maybe you have 10,000. That's still starting from scratch, because what I find is that for every 10,000 followers you have, that translates into between 10 to 20% of people, these people subscribing. 10% will subscribe and stay subscribed for at least 6 months. The other 10% will not come back after the first month. They were just it out of curiosity. That's my numbers, what I see as far as like follower to translation to OnlyFans ratio.
Right.
And I've built a little bit of a following because of, you know, I was doing it for so long outside of OnlyFans, so it kind of translated over, which was nice, but only for a little bit of time, right? Once the curiosity wears off, people are over it. Unless you're doing very specific things, and those very specific things can then become rabbit hole stuff, and then all of a sudden you're showing your innards, which you never planned to do, or something like that. So you're all of a sudden, so you're sucking six dicks on camera so that you can make $29.99 a video, and then all of a sudden you realize, like, shit, they just took a cut of that. That was only $26. Fuck, IRS, I'm making $20 to take six dicks. Fuck, that wasn't worth it, you know? So it's one of those things.
Fuck yeah. So let's end on a sexy note.
Sure.
So is there anything that you learned how to do or like decided to do creatively and or like suggested to do creatively that you found exciting enough to do in your life outside of your digital sex work over the years?
I thought you were going to ask if there was something that I was like not sure about, and then I did, and then I ended up liking, but that's a good question too. Well, that's going to be my question for you, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It took doing this job to really get into the daddy thing. This job to get into the mommy thing. Not that I ever want to be a mommy outside of the bedroom, but I'm okay with being also being your sister. Also, girl sister thing was a super no-no for me for a while. I like how all of mine are just family related. It's gross. what else? Yeah, no, there's definitely been at least handfuls of things that I've been intrigued by in like the role play scenario, for example, or whatever, mm-hmm. and then kind of translated over into the bedroom. Not that many more. Anything else? No, I don't know. Probably mostly just like that taboo shit, you know? Yeah. Family road trip. That's like all I get requested to do. I mean, I guess like in person jerk off instructions is fun. I had never done that before. So like JOI was a thing that I kind of mastered over time, which is basically just cutting a promo on your dick and what you're going to do with it. Uh-huh. You know,
I think we need to post some of like the affiliate links that we have for naughty stuff with this episode.
Absolutely. Like, but wait, you have to answer my question though.
Oh wait, what was your question?
What was is there anything a client has like suggested you like role play or hey, would, mm-hmm. would you be into this that you then realized you were into while you were like
yeah, something that I was like hesitant about yeah. until like
oh, yeah. I don't like doing that. Well, maybe I'll try. Oh shit, I like it, you know.
I didn't think I would like to be prompted to like tell a particular kind of fantasy. Like, you know, if I'm doing it, I usually like, you know, like to be like part of the creative team coming up with that fantasy. But I think I, you know, I definitely had a couple of people that like wanted a particular kind of prompt to like, you know, share a particular story, their own creation as far as theme, but I got to like execute the story, if you will.
Oh, okay.
Cause like, you know, if I'm gonna get hot and bothered enough for you, like I kind of need to have some reins over like where to take my own head in order to like, sure. you know,
give well, you. Well, you've always been a little bit whatever. Of a dom no matter what, even when you're in like the submissive role, you're always a little dominant, yeah. so.
So I think like, I think that like I did figure out how to like really enjoy that prompting in a way where it would be like, okay, what next?
Nice. You know?
So yeah, that
you
that,
learned how to be a little bit more submissive. That's fun.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting to be like, oh yeah, I guess that thing is a little titillating. Okay, cool.
Exactly. Beautiful.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think I would ever, my other thing is I don't think I ever thought I'd be comfortable going live because I was always so particular about like I have to edit out every little moment where I don't look sure. super hot, and now I'm just like whatever okay. whatever, you can see yeah. my double chin, I don't give a fuck, I'm orgasming, woohoo, like because the more real the better, you know. Anyways, I'm done.
Fuck yeah. Awesome. You want to wrap up this show for us?
Sure. Thank you for tuning into the Screw Podcast with Felicia Rose and A-Love. We hope we made you come today, or at least learn that sex work is hard work. Everybody have a wonderful day. Tune in.
Check out.
Subscribe. Check out. Eat my butt. Bye.
Bye. Uh-huh.